Rat Pack, where you at?
Hey, hey, what's going on? It's Tuesday, November 5th. My name is Jeff. This is The Rants. Big day. That's right. NFL trade deadline. Not that anything else is going on today. Oh, yeah, that's right. The college football initial rankings come out as well. The playoff rankings. No. Obviously, yeah, there's something else going on. But, hey, trade deadline. And a few other things. Obviously, it's a Tuesday, so we have to talk a little waivers here. I'll give you the top 10. We'll run through some of the latest news from around the NFL. Actually, surprisingly, not a ton of news. And, oh yeah, we should recap what happened last night. Before I get to that, ftnfantasy.com. You know the website. Hopefully, you've checked it out. Hopefully, you've used promo code RATPACK for 10% off. If you haven't, well, it's still there. It works. You should use it. All right, let's get to last night. An interesting game. A very interesting game. Tampa is a very good team. For them to take this Kansas City Chiefs team to overtime, and man, the overtime rule still stinks. It's better than it used to be, but they should have gotten the opportunity to touch the football in overtime. Whatever, I digress. For them to take this team to overtime was pretty impressive. Baker Mayfield wasn't the best game for him statistically, but playing-wise, he played well. You know, 202 is what he went for, and then he had 20 rushing yards. But doing this with... I mean, even without Jalen McMillan, so now you're without, I mean, I guess you could argue three of your top four wide receivers heading into the season if you had Palmer ahead of him. Not good. But you got Kate Otten out there, 8 for 77 and a touchdown. I think people are going to way overvalue him, though. When Evans comes back, the ball is going to go to Evans first and then Otten. Like, Otten's still going to have value going forward, so if you could sell high on him right now, not a terrible idea. And by the way, just because I say sell high doesn't mean you have to do it. I just identify potential opportunities and pass them along. I think sometimes when people hear this, like, they immediately have to jump to action, and that's not really the case. If you have the opportunity, do it. If you don't, don't do it. If you have two tight ends, then yeah, it's probably not much of an advantage for you to have two tight ends right now. And Otten will fetch a good price. So you have that. The backfield was a mess from a usage standpoint. I mean, at least Rashad White, for anybody who started him, got in the end zone. But wow, they really spread the ball around. From a participation standpoint, White did play the most snaps, and it wasn't close. He had 32 snaps. That was 62%. Bucky Irving only played 35%. So a 65-35 split. Sean Tucker was only out there for 7 snaps. So, I mean, he had that, but the touches didn't quite work out that way. I'm not going to panic if I have Rashad White at all. In fact, I have him, as I mentioned. I'm not panicking, but I would have liked to have seen better usage there. Regardless, let's go to the other side. So obviously, two major stories here. DeAndre Hopkins, welcome to Kansas City. Like, this was the coming out game, and he still doesn't know the offense. Like, the first touchdown was an improv. But the thing is, he is a savvy veteran. He is, I think a lot of people would say, a future Hall of Famer. I know that's always a debatable conversation, but he's been a great professional wide receiver. And he knew what to do in that instance. Now, he had three guys on him, essentially, and still went up made to catch. So you're Patrick Mahomes, and you see that. You're like, yep, I'm going to keep throwing to this dude. And throwing to him is what he did. 8 for 86 in the touchdown. The second touchdown was that 1-yarder, but also very good. The points count just the same, regardless of the length of the touchdown. So like that there, he's trending up in a big way. Will he be a wide receiver one? I could see it. You know, obviously, I haven't done rankings yet for this upcoming week. And remember, on Wednesdays, I'm on the FTN Fantasy Football Podcast. We also have the rankings that go up on Tuesdays at ftnfantasy.com. But I could see him trending in that direction. I don't think it'll happen immediately, but, you know, down the stretch, this could be a monster because Mahomes just hasn't had a guy like that. Mahomes goes for 3 touchdowns. That's great. And, oh, yeah, that's right. Travis Kelce, 14 catches. For 100 yards on 16 targets. Remember that point in the season where people were losing their minds thinking he forgot how to play football? Well, I think he remembered. He has been excellent in the middle part of the season. Every bit the elite tight end that we knew and most of us came to love, unless you were playing against him, in which case you didn't love him. But yeah, he's every bit that player right now. Absolutely rolling. And it does not hurt that Hopkins is out there. There's no other value elsewhere on the team in terms of the passing game. And Kareem Hunt had a very Kareem Hunt-like game. He averaged under 4 yards per carry. Again, 27 rushing attempts, 106 yards. He did have his long of the season, 15 yards, but I still think we're in a sell high window. And like, obviously today is the NFL trade deadline. Our fantasy trade deadlines are rapidly approaching in a lot of leagues as well. Honestly, I feel like a lot of leagues have it too late. I've talked about this before, but anyway, still time to potentially sell on him. If I have too many running backs, I would sell him for a wide receiver. If I have like just the right amount, like say I have, you know, in a regular league, my ratio tends to be about 7 wide receivers and 4 running backs. I do not want as many running backs as wide receivers because you can start more wide receivers in most leagues. So I want to keep, and really I want to keep that ammunition at wide receiver anyway, because you can't manufacture it as easily. It's not easy at running back either, but as easily as you can at running back. Like, there are guys out there like the Tyrone Traces of the world who emerge. Yeah, you get a Cedric Tillman every now and then, but for the most part, it's easier to find at running back. So I would want to keep the ratio and trade hunt for an upgraded running back situation. All right, so let's get into some of the news here. First and foremost, let's start with Dak Prescott. He is going to go to injured reserve. Cooper Rush will be the quarterback. This looks like the season is circling the drain, which is why it's even crazier that they traded for a receiver, which we'll get to Jonathan Mingo in a bit. I do not understand that whatsoever. Dallas right now is 3-5. They have a division with Washington at 7-2 and Philly at 6-2, who they face this week. And if Philly beats them, Philly has a 4-game lead on them. Like, I don't know what we're trying to do, but whatever. Cooper Rush will have at least some value in deep super flex leagues. But yeah, it hurts CeeDee Lamb, who could miss some time here. You know, he's being called week to week. Awesome. It hurts the overall state of the offense. Like, I still think Rico Dowdle is a good add because there should be plenty of volume. Ezekiel Elliott seems to be on his way out. And Dalvin Cook, who was called up from practice squad or elevated from practice squad this past week, he didn't do anything. And he's back on practice squad. I don't see them signing him to the active roster, although you never quite know. Obviously, right now with Jerry Jones, anything could potentially be possible. But that's the latest on that front. So let's talk about the Jonathan Mingo trade. Carolina's, you know, selling off assets. This is the second wide receiver they've traded. They acquired a 4th-round pick for Mingo. It's honestly not that bad. It's not what they spent on Mingo, but to get a 4th-rounder is, you know, he was a 2nd-round pick. To get a 4th-rounder for him is not bad at all. And, you know, so you're going to have, you know, you load up on day 3 picks. You have more ammunition, more draft capital. I don't hate this at all for Carolina. And he wasn't doing anything there. So there's no fantasy football implications on the Carolina side. And I'll get into Xavier Leggett when we talk about the waiver wire. So you have that. Over to the Dallas side, I mean, CD is hurt, so you need some help. Is this an indication that he's hurt even worse? I don't think so, but you know, you never can tell. So CD's banged up. Tolbert has not been particularly good. Your 3rd wide receiver is Jalen Brooks, which good for him, 7th-round pick in 2023. But you have Ryan Flournoy, who you drafted in the 6th round this past year. You have Kevontae Turpin. And Kevontae Turpin is a special teamer. Yes, he can give you some snaps at wide receiver, but you don't want him starting for you. So this is a mess. And honestly, it's a head-scratcher of a trade. A good trade for Carolina. I have no idea the Dallas side, like, why they would want to do this. None. Let's do the other trade before I get to some injury stuff. So, other trade of note. I'm not going to get into Za'Darius Smith going to the Lions because this is not an IDP show. Khalil Herbert going to the Bengals. And there were a lot of eyes on Khalil Herbert as, you know, could he be a potential beneficiary of a trade? Well, first and foremost, no, with this landing spot. And the number one piece of advice I have, you know, is to look at the details, you know, because teams will tell you what they're doing when you look at the details. They may not tell you those details at a podium interview or press conference, whatever, but their moves, they don't lie with the moves. They traded him for a 7th-round pick. The Bears were so willing to give him up that they They took a seventh round pick. And if you look to the pick value chart the NFL uses to evaluate trade value for picks, seventh round picks have basically no value. Sixth round picks, almost no value. Fifth round, eh. Fourth's okay. Third's decent. Second's good. One is obviously great. So they traded him for a bag of magic beans. That should tell us where Chicago is on him. And then we look to the Cincinnati side. Zach Moss is hurt. And this could end up being season ending. Like, it's a neck injury. He is out indefinitely. And so beyond Zach Moss on this depth chart, there really was not much. So Cincinnati, who honestly, like, could they make the playoffs? Yeah. I mean, the pathway honestly is better now than it was a few weeks ago. So right now you have Buffalo in the lead by far in the East. They're going to steamroll to the East. I don't think any other East team makes the playoffs unless the Jets get on a bit of a run. And it's going to have to be a big run because they already have six losses. You have Pittsburgh technically a half game ahead of Baltimore. Both of those teams look like playoff teams. Houston should steamroll their way. Can Indianapolis fight their way back into the picture? Yeah. They're 4-5. You have Kansas City at 8-0. You have the Chargers and Broncos with winning records. But the Bengals are at 4-5. Like, they are decent enough to potentially make a run here. But if they make the postseason and Chase Brown goes down, they're screwed. It's Travion Williams. And then the next guy after him is Kendall Milton. And I know, if you're a Georgia fan, you know Kendall Milton. He's a bigger back, bruiser. He went undrafted. He went undrafted for a reason. You know, he ended up initially being signed by the Eagles. He did not make the roster. Then he went to the practice squad. Now he's signed to the active roster. They may send, you know, they may release him and then re-sign him to the practice squad. Who knows? Because technically, I don't think they don't have any running backs on their practice squad right now. So they needed depth. This is not, oh, he's threatening Chase Brown. This is, Chase Brown is kind of broken out, and Chase Brown is now their guy. And all is right with the world if you drafted a bunch of Chase Brown like I did, but they needed help. That's what this move is. It is not a move to threaten Chase Brown. It's a, Zach Moss might be done for the season. We have to cover our rear end. Let me rip through some of the injury news. Actually, a lot of good news. McCaffrey activated off of injured reserve, so excited to see him back out there. I think it's going to be rinse and repeat from where we left off. Obviously, we'll be holding our breath a little bit in the beginning to make sure he can get through a game a week healthy, but I'm very confident he is right back to where he was when, you know, when we last saw him. D'Amico Ryans talked about Nico Collins, said they have to evaluate him through the week. His value, or he's going to be essentially where he left off, but his presence on the field is what I should say, will impact CJ Stroud in a favorable way. AJ Brown, day to day, good. Doesn't mean he's going to play this week, but day to day is good. CeeDee Lamb, week to week, as I mentioned earlier, could miss some time. Drake London, day to day, that's good. Amari Cooper, day to day, that's good. Adam Thielen, now I'm recording this just after noon. It would not surprise me if he is traded today if the Carolina Panthers continue to unload, but he said he's not sure if he can even play this week. Now, is that one of those injuries that gets healed by the plane ride to your new team, like Devontae Adams? Maybe. Those plane rides can do some magical things, but we'll see with Adam Thielen. I don't know. I don't know if he plays this week or not. No idea. It does look like Jonathan Brooks will play for the Carolina Panthers, though, so you have that. DK Metcalf should return next week after this week's bye, so that is good as well. Some of the quarterback situations. So Joe Flacco going to continue to start. Obviously, the New Orleans Saints moved on from Dennis Allen. Darren Rizzi, who will be the interim, he was previously the special teams coach, said Derek Carr is the starter. Canales said they have not decided, by the way, on whether or not Bryce will start this week. I think he does. Actually, was really impressed by him this past week. Antonio Pierce, no idea of who their new OC will be or who their starting quarterback will be, but they're on bye, so they have a little bit of time to figure that out. They brought in Norv Turner, though. I mean, I had to check. I'm like, man, I feel like Norv Turner's like 90. He's not. He's 72, but okay. I don't think it changes anything unless they bring back Norv's guy, Philip Rivers. Nah, I don't think that's going to happen. Would be kind of awesome if it did, but I don't see that happening. One other note here, and I have gotten a bunch of questions about this. So Sean Payton said Audric Estime is going to see an increased workload going forward. This is not a surprise to me because Javonte Williams and Jaleel McLaughlin have not played well. And if you look back to this past week, just from a football standpoint, I don't give a crap about the stats. Estime played the best out of the three. So what do we do with this? Like, this isn't go and spend 35% of your fab on him. It's if you can pick him up, why not, right? Go and see if you can grab him. And if you can grab him, great. I'm not going to overspend on him. And I have the recommendation for him in the FTN waiver tool. But I don't think that just because he gets opportunities means he's definitely going to hit. Now, he could. He's a bigger back. He's not fast. Like, he's a big bruising back. Very solid football player, though, in his time with Notre Dame. You definitely had a nose for the end zone, so at least there might be something. And the team's not bad. I mean, I think they're outkicking their coverage a little bit with their record, and they showed when they go up against a really good team, they're not going to hold their weight. Baltimore just steamrolled them, but they're not going to face really good teams every single week. So there may be something there, but don't trip over yourself. However, you know, if I'm struggling a running back, you know, these are the types of players that we want to target at this time of year. I would say I have to be struggling at running back. And a lot of you guys, I've noticed, you think you're a lot worse at running back than you actually are. So something to note there. All right, let's get into waivers for this week. So this is maybe not the greatest week out there for waivers, but it's an interesting one. If Tyrone Tracy is out there, which he's out there in 32% of ESPN leagues, 31% of Yahoo leagues, he should not be, 50 to 100%. I don't know why he's still out there. So I had to at least mention that because he did barely make the threshold. But otherwise, probably your best bet this week will be Cedric Tillman. Surprisingly, he still is hanging around in a bunch of leagues, 52% of ESPN leagues, 42% of Yahoo. I would now go 25 to 50%. It's the target volume. I mean, he has 32 targets over his last three games. Since Amari Cooper is gone, he is heavily involved. And Jameis will throw it downfield like crazy. So that all works out for him. Rico Dowdle also should not be out there. He is in 37% available on ESPN and, let's see, 32% on Yahoo. Even if the team is circling the drain, he's going to get a lot of work. So I go 10 to 20% on him. 10 to 20% on Juwan Jennings. I think a lot of people just skipped over him last week. 43% available on ESPN, 50% available on Yahoo. He's going to be the number two wide receiver, maybe not the number two target. Although any given game with that offense, the way they spread the ball around, you never quite know, but he should be rostered going forward. Xavier Leggett, I'm going 5 to 10%. He's very widely available. They're continuing to peel off players from their wide receiver room. So that helps. As I said, Bryce really threw the ball well. You know, the interception, well, it was actually Leggett's fault, but whatever. But it was a beautifully thrown ball. It was just the defender really taking the ball away. Leggett should have secured it in my ball mentality. But regardless, I do think there's at least some room for improvement here. Could we be looking at flex or better? Yes, potentially. Same thing with Quentin Johnson at 6. Arrow pointing up, I'm going 5 to 10% on him as well. Ladd McConkey's the lead. He is the number one target. But Johnston has a lot of upside. Could I see him as a flex in some weeks? Absolutely. Justin Herbert is playing good football as well, so that really helps the cause out. Jerry Jeudy, I'm going, he's at number 7 for me. I'm going 5 to 10% on him as well. He actually, I mean, he's top 7 receiving yards in each of the last 2 weeks, 19 targets over that span. Jameis looks his way a lot as well. Jaylen Warren, 5 to 10%. Another player coming off bye who maybe got overlooked because he's out there in 45% of ESPN leagues. And wow, 58% of Yahoo leagues. He is not the lead back, but he's more than a handcuff. Like, yes, if Najee went down, then I would expect to see more Warren. I would expect to see somebody else in that backfield as well, you know, given the current state of things in their backfield. And by the way, I would not hold my breath on Najee Harris going down because he's never missed a game as a professional. But you'd have Cordero Patterson. Jonathan Ward is also on that roster. I forgot about Jonathan Ward. So Jonathan Ward is on that roster. In terms of their practice squad, they have Aaron Shamklin, and I think that's it. Yeah. So they would probably stick to what they have, probably a little bit more Cordarrelle Patterson, but it wouldn't be a bad spot for Warren. Regardless, he's going to be used, and he looked healthy for the first time all season, really. Roma Dunze, I'm going at 9. So I have him down at 4-7%. A little bit more volatility here. A lot of people are complaining about Caleb Williams. I mean, it's back-to-back down games, but this is kind of what he's been. Like, he's been a couple good, couple bad, couple good, couple bad. The good news, though, that chemistry with Roma Dunze that we saw if you watched Hard Knocks seems to continue to be blossoming here. This was the first big game he's had in a while, but it really looked good. He is the downfield presence. I'd love to see them use more of DJ Moore in that area of the field, but for now, there's upside with Roma Dunze. And remember, now that we're in November, this is when that cream starts to rise with the rookies. Like, they're not in their first NFL game anymore. You know, they have 2 months of football under their belt. And for some of them, it really starts to click now. So I would love to take a shot on that guy. Like, I don't want to have to pick him up after he blows up 3 straight games. I would like, you know, he blew up. It wasn't massive fantasy wise, but he goes over 100 yards last week. That's enough of an indicator to take a shot on him for me. Rounding it out, I'm going Matthew Stafford as the top quarterback. I have Justin Herbert right there as well, 4-7%. I actually like them better than Tua, who's widely available, than Drake May, who I think is really interesting as well, and Russell Wilson. Like, I like those two better. Stafford is going to be fine as long as he has Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua. If he doesn't have those guys, we know you really can't trust him. But if he does, he's going to be fine. And then Herbert, I mean, maybe there's a fair argument to be made that Herbert has the higher ceiling, but the challenge that I run into there is we know that Harbaugh and Roman are just going to want to run the you-know-what out of the football, and that does at least put a cap on Justin Herbert. Although, I mean, he's basically approached that ceiling each of the last couple weeks here as the starter there for the Chargers. I don't have Estime in this 4-7% range, just so you're aware. This one is, you're going to have to weigh your options here. If Tracy's out there, that's obvious. I can't believe he's out there in that many leagues. It's stupid. He's probably not out there in your league, or your league's plural. Dowdle might be, though. Warren might be. I would rather go with those guys than Estime. If you disagree with me, so be it. You know, I have no issues with that. You just have to have, I hope, a good reason to do so. But he's still a decent ad. Like, Estime is well ahead of all the handcuff options that if you're not handcuffing your top back and you aren't in a shallow league, you have to have at least a regular size or a deep league to do it. It is wise to make sure you do that right now. You don't want somebody else grabbing your cuff. Just one. I'm not cuffing everybody because then you limit your bench. Just my top guy. Like, if I have Kyren, then I want Blake Corum. If I have Bijan, I want Tyler Algier. But I don't want them to the effect that I'm going to trade for them. The person who has Algier, if I don't have him, is eventually going to drop him, then I'll pick him up. So word to the wise there. All right, that's going to wrap it up for today. So tomorrow, FTN Fantasy Football Podcast. That's what you have to search. You cannot search FTN Podcast because I think like the baseball show or something will show up. It will not be the Fantasy Football Podcast. I am on that feed on Wednesdays throughout the NFL season. This show, basically, with different music. So get that for tomorrow. Then I'll be back on this feed on Thursday. And then, of course, rolling into Friday for another week, man. Double-digit week, week 10. Weird. I like it, though. 5 games left in the fantasy football regular season for most of us out there. On socials, I'm at Jeff Ratcliffe. So that's both on Twitter, which is also known as X, which is still weird to me, and Instagram. So follow along with me over there. And yeah, FTMFantasy.com, please go check it out if you haven't already. I don't know what you're waiting for, man. Come on, you've heard me say it like 1,000 times on this podcast. Promo code RATPACK for 10% off. Enjoy the end of the trade deadline. If anything crazy goes down, I'll pop back on, but I don't anticipate it. All right, I'll catch you on the flip. I'm Jeff, and I'm out. It's 3 a.m. I'm still on it.